Welcome back to Praying with Scripture Special Edition. During the absence of the Pope, the Sede Vacanti in Latin. Here we are, and we're not going to be long, but we're still celebrating the great joy of Easter Day, that first day of the week on which Jesus appeared throughout the whole day, spent his whole day appearing to his men and women disciples. And he has not just risen for himself, but has also transformed the world and been declared by God as Son of God, Christ, and Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now we're just going to take a moment to acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate this liturgy of the Word. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. Trusting in God's mercy, let us continue on. Glory to God in the highest on this Easter day, and on earth peace to people of good will. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. O God, who gladden us year by year with the solemnity of the Lord's resurrection, graciously grant that by celebrating these present festivities, we may merit through them to reach eternal joys. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. What I do have, I give you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Rise and walk, Peter's words. And we're going to have a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer, and a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk." Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leaped up, stood, and walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. The word of the Lord. Now we're going to pray Psalm 105 with the antiphon, "Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Invoke his name. Make known among the nations his deeds. Sing to him, sing his praise. Proclaim all his wondrous works. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. you descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth his judgments prevail. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. He remembers forever his covenant, which he made binding for 1,000 generations, which he entered into with Abraham and by his oath to Isaac. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia, alleluia. They recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had seen indeed a vision of angels, who announced that he was alive. Then some of those went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them, and it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very exciting gospel, and it's one that I'll probably never forget, you know, that opening up that Jesus does. Very, very important. You know, in our catechist formation program, this is often said to be the main way, and one of the main ways that we as catechists can strive and succeed in evangelizing other people. So what is he doing? He's showing them how he himself is the key that unlocks all the scriptures. So that means, for example, Joseph. Now we see why Joseph had to go down to Egypt. We see the purpose and the meaning of his suffering, because it is a mirror image of Christ's rejection. And there's just too many things in the stories of Scripture that are coincidental in how they mirror Christ. So it's not really so much, hey, it's bluntly obvious, but you can see these patterns. So what is the story here? Well, if we just want the short version, you know, like I said, there's all these types of Jesus, and some of them are explicitly articulated by the prophets who prophesied a new David. They also prophesied a new Elijah, though they didn't say new. They did say David and Elijah would come back, and they were dead at the time. So what's going on? Well, we can see that because Jesus came down and he was making himself to be the same as God, as John says, that there's more than one person in God, which would have been really surprising way back then, as probably it is now. But God, this multi-person God that is just one Godhead, loves us. He's a communion of friends that nonetheless form one substantial acting principle. God the Father is not the Son and not the Holy Spirit, but is the source of both receiving their existence, and yet they come together into one principle of action. But God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, his only beloved one, as Savior of the world, to redeem Adam and Eve's transgression, and especially the transgressions, plural, and sinfulness of his children. Why? Because God loved us. He created us in his own image, out of everything that he created. Wonderful things throughout the world, and all the dinosaurs, and all the dolphins, and the giraffes, and the elephants, the tigers, and the lions, and the bears, and the angels of many, many choirs. This one is uniquely and specially his image, his statue. So that's really important, because we image God both through having his breath, his spirit in our intellect and our will, which is very unique, but also have a physical, relational ability to image God in our relations with one another. Because of what Adam and Eve did, because remember, God didn't necessarily need, we ended up broken. We ended up with something called inherited sin, or the original sin. But God, he was already promising a redeemer. You know, he promised that Adam and Eve's descendant or descendants would crush the head of the serpent that had tempted them. Genesis 3:16 says that very famously, really stood out to a lot of Christians. Genesis 3:16. So God had promised that. Like I said, he also promised it by saying that Abraham would become a blessing to all the nations, and in him, or by him, all the nations could be blessed, and that he would have many, many progeny, as many as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. Then God promised a redeemer again through all those types of Jesus. King David was a type of Jesus. You know, Joseph, the guy from Genesis that goes down after his brother Solomon into slavery, you look at that story and it freaks you out how you could open it up, because you're putting it side by side with the story of Jesus, the Son, rejected by his brothers, the beloved Son of the Father, handed over to the brothers who, you know, they want him dead, but they think that they can get some money out of him, so they sell him. And he meets this with just nothing but faith in God, reconciliation, and ultimately turns his slavery into something that actually makes him king, makes him a priestly and kingly figure who can provide for others, providing them with bread, saving them, and then is broken up in tears because his brothers believe that he would want them dead, right? So again, and yet at the end of the story, they're all reunited. So Joseph himself, you know, images what it means to be the new Adam, what it means to be rejected, to be scorned, and yet to overcome. And again, you could do so many, right? Moses and all the others, especially the ones that suffer. But in any case, like I said, because of hereditary original sin, God had to provide a way to shield us from the consequences of our sins. There were role models like Moses that were set before us that did some pretty amazing things by the power of God's Holy Spirit, supernatural things that no one at the time could really explain. And they formed this priestly people that would take up the promise of Abraham and be formed into a nation of priests, God's holy kingdom. And they were to prepare the way for God's promised Redeemer and for the promises to come true and for the light to conquer the darkness throughout the whole world. But because of hereditary sin, you know, we are constantly unable to give God the kind of honor and the kind of worship that we really needed to, and so Israel goes astray despite Moses' spiritual power and role modeling. We needed Jesus, whose body was completely free from the effects of original sin, whose body and soul were perfect, immaculate, even modeled in a special way after God himself as the Son. So that's what Jesus is doing. Not just role modeling, but fixing the problem from the inside out by protecting us from the accuser, from the satanic powers of darkness. Of course, the prophets appear, and they know that the kingdom of David has again proven to be a very disappointing thing. They thought it would bring the light to the nations, and it would bring the light of the law everywhere, and make Israel a model priestly people for others, but the kingdom of David itself collapsed. It was not faithful. So the prophets appear and they call it back. They call the people to repentance and the kings to repentance, and they don't listen. Sometimes they do listen, but it's not enough. And ultimately, the sin has the last word, so they're exiled to wait for a Redeemer, a promised David, a promised hope that the kingdom of David would not end on this note. So that's why it's quite surprising, because the royal family of David had become peasants. They hadn't become anything. But Joseph, and perhaps arguably Mary, who's Levitical, are members of that royal family. But Jesus's birth is announced to Mary, and she's going to do something remarkable. She's going to say yes in the name of all of humanity, because her body is also specially created by God. It's meant to be free from original sin so that we can have a second go around at this with Adam and Eve and a new humanity. So she's going to make it possible for Jesus to have this sinless entrance into the world and be his partner in the act of atoning, you know, a life of atoning, of becoming a high priest for others, ultimately to the point where he pays back the debt, the love, the honor, the gratitude, the unconditional love we couldn't give in his death and resurrection. But an amazing person, right? She gave up so much, and she risked everything. Not be for herself, not for her own glory, not thinking that she would be someone great, but just because of God and because it would fulfill the promise that the people were waiting for. Give laying down his life freely in his passion and death paid back that love, because each and every human being was beloved of the Father. And he wanted to do it all for us individually and also for the race collectively by being willing to give up everything and suffer everything for the sake of the beloved. That was his definition of agape love in the highest degree. And yet, he rose from the dead. He was born for us in a manger, selected 12 apostles to found his kingdom and to make it a real, tangible social reality and to carry on his work. The church is super important, especially in Catholicism. Jesus does all these miracles, including even the raising of the dead sometimes, like the daughter of Jairus, whom he raised privately from the dead. And this was tied with his preaching ministry, his announcement of the kingdom, but it was also so that he could show how much God loved people. And it was really in a very important way, because he was a surprise Messiah. These types of things were needed to confirm the preaching, to show that the kingdom of David wasn't some hope for reaching the top of the Mediterranean pyramid or even teaching the law to other nations, but it would be a way of doing something on a whole different level of God teaching and being among us. And to confirm that, you really needed to do a lot of signs, ultimately giving us the Holy Eucharist, the miracle of miracles that's endlessly repeated. This is my body, this is my blood. And then the next day that becomes a reality in his own one-time passion, just once. Like I said, he offered to God his love, his obedience, and took on the weight of our sin in his own humanity to overcome it. But this resurrection is not just an isolated event or a one-off, but it means that Jesus himself has overcome death. And with that, he's overcome it for all, for everyone. So Jesus rose from the dead, and if we agree to be in contact with him, he's going to make a difference in our daily lives. He's going to give us direction to share in his life, even to share in his mission. And we shall be changed even now. Before our bodies are changed, we shall be changed to be more like him in this life and fully glorious later on.